Father, thank you for being here. Thank you for loving us. And I pray that as I empty myself and pass the butterflies to you, you will give me utterance, that I will speak what you want us to hear. It's all about you, Jesus. Amen. The Father's heart. I thought it was going to be really easy because that's, you know, talking about the Father's heart, we seem to know it. I thought it was going to be very easy, but my heart is thumping. I don't know whether it's just excitement of sharing God's heart or just being nervous, but I will do my best. The topic of God's love for humanity is truly overwhelming. It's such an overwhelming subject, which I personally, you know, my mind can't quite comprehend. It blows my mind. And one of the lines in the last song says, the thought of God's love, you know, in my own words, manages to eclipse all the heartache and the pain and things that we go through. And sometimes I wonder why we don't dwell more on that and give ourselves such a hard time. Even though my whole mind, my whole being can't quite comprehend and analyze and explain why he loves me and how he does it, I know without a doubt that he loves me. And I know without a doubt that he loves and knows each of you by name. And he loves you like there's only one of you. I have experienced it, and I'm sure many of you have. Even if we don't, if we haven't experienced it, we have read in the scriptures about his love. We have been told. And perhaps by the time we finish having this talk, we will remind ourselves that we are actually deserving of his love because he chose to die for us. And we can forget all the lies that we've been told, that we're so unworthy and beat our brows. We are worthy, and that's why he died. Acknowledging that we're as sinful by birth is one thing. Yes, we came from a broken Adam and Eve, but he loved us so much that he died for us. So let's say to ourselves that God loves me. Say to yourselves, and that you are deserving of it, because he's not a liar. He can't lie. It's not in his nature to lie. And he believed that we deserved that love. He loved us so much. Why would you do anything for people who didn't deserve it? His son Jesus Christ died for us. We don't deserve it by works because we're good. It's because he has made us worthy of it. And let's accept it and be grateful. Who is God to us? Is he the scary, distant, punitive God? Or is he warm and approachable? Are we able to call him Daddy, Papa, Abba? Do we sometimes start prayer by saying, Darling God, or oh, you are so, so sweet, a wonderful, gracious God? Or is it always Almighty God, Jehovah God, with fear and trepidation? How familiar are we with him? Are we able to just turn and lay our heads on his shoulder and just tell him everything? Or are we so afraid of him that we keep things from him, even though we know he knows everything about us. Unfortunately, our relationship with God is usually determined by our relationship with our earthly fathers. Unfortunately, also, we miss out on enjoying our Heavenly Father's love because we do not believe that he loves us. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that he who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." This short verse in the book of John says it all. He so loved the world. Mind, it was a very broken world. Not just the Jews, not just royalty, the pious, the educated, the theologians. No. He loved all of us, the Syrians. He loved the Muslims, the Buddhists, even the most unpleasant people, people that we think do not deserve God's love. He died for all of us. That's what he did. He sacrificed Jesus Christ for every single one of us. And it's up to us to tap into it. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And Romans 8:32-38 speaks of his immense love, which absolutely nothing can take from us. He paid the ultimate price to redeem us. So we are his beloved, the apple of his eyes. We are, warts and all. Yes, the apple of his eye. The world has broken so many of us, and Satan has spoken such lies into our lives, and we have believed his lies. So we don't think we deserve God's love. And we suffer like the prodigal son. And the sad thing is, like the prodigal son, we don't even realize that before we reached the boundaries of the father's property, he'd seen him coming and he was preparing, waiting. In the same way, before the day I accepted Christ as my Lord and personal Savior, I was a Buddhist. I persecuted Christians. I thought it was a load of nonsense. The day I went for my altar call, he knew I was coming, and he met me at the cross. And he hasn't stopped showering me with his love. In fact, sometimes I feel that I'm just bending beneath the weight of his love and his mercy. He's waiting for us. He's waiting. He loves us so deeply. Look at us. We're human. We're just ordinary mortals. See how much we love our children. If we can love our children the way we do, how much more God, who created us, each and every one of us individually. We are his beloved. If our children disobeyed us and went off to the woods with their friends, or sneaked off and got dirty and got hurt and came running home and were all mucky, and we saw them, would we hold them away? Or would we say, "No, you know, you didn't ask permission. Why did you go start giving them trouble?" we will embrace them. We will hold them to our hearts. Our hearts will ache for them and would want to make it better. In the same way, when we feel we failed God, when we backslide, when we don't please God, when you do things that he wouldn't want us to do, he still loves us. He doesn't stop. He's waiting with his arms wide open. He doesn't hold our sins against us. He says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And it's only somebody who loves you deeply who can do that. The prophet Zechariah uses the phrase apple of God's eye in his words to God's people who had returned to Jerusalem from captivity in Babylon. And mind, they had really disobeyed him and they were in trouble. And yet, he called them to repent, to rebuild the temple, and above all, to renew their love for their beloved God. He loved his people, and he referred to them as the apple of his eyes. And the scripture here says, for this is what the Lord Almighty says, after the glorious one has sent me against the nations that have plundered you, for whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. I will surely raise my hand against them so that their slaves will plunder them. Then you will know that the Almighty God have served me. He loves us, but he chastises us too. Just because he loves us doesn't mean that when we're wrong, he will not correct us. In Hebrew 12, it says, Hebrew 12, verse 5, I think, says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises everyone he accepts as son. He doesn't punish us. He corrects us and he disciplines us. That's the difference. He loves us. He loves us so. God who dwells in our midst pours out his love unto us even more amazingly than a loving parent does to their children. I grew up with the slogan, smile, God loves you. And I used it glibly all the time, you know, sometimes to mock my mom and the Christians around me. But actually, it is such a tonic. It is such a tonic. I say to myself quite often, and I'm, you know, and it keeps me going. There are times when we feel alone, dejected, sometimes betrayed, and just not feel right. We feel rubbish. But when we remember how deep our Father's love is, we carry on. We carry on. Smile. God loves you. Because of God's love, we can face the storm. We can go through all sorts of things, but we know that he loves us. I keep him going, even though there are times when I think, what is this all about? There are times when I'm so broken, I know the only person who knows is God. There are times that my children are in the home with me and they don't know how deep in the pit of darkness I'm in. But then I remember that God loves me. I have chosen, I have decided to remind myself daily of God's love. I have one CD in my car, and I usually have a CD from New Wine, and then the next New Wine I put another one in. And there's certain songs that I keep playing. And Oh How He Loves Us, and He's a Good, Good Father. And I sing. I can't sing too well, mind you. I sing, and I'm sure the people driving past think, what's wrong with this woman? And sometimes I cry, and sometimes I laugh, and sometimes I almost lift up my hand in praise. But I saturate myself. I put myself in God's love. And we can all do that. It's free. It's readily available. And it is true. He loves us. He loves you. He loves you so much, Jill. Ali, He loves you. Karen, God loves you. He loves you so much. I just want to shout it from the top of the hills, from the mountains. I so desperately want to put all this away and tell you how much God loves you. But I don't just want to tell you. I want us all collectively to just go under that umbrella. Just huggle up. Just ask Him to bring us to that place where we can feel how deep His love is for us. I'm actually feeling a lot warmer now, just talking about Him. Thank you. Now let's look at God's love compared to ours. It is unconditional. Totally. I find sometimes my children annoy me so much that they say, love you, mummy. And I say, mummy, I love you. And I say, I love you too. And that's because I'm human. There's a song, it's in a psalm, it says, can a woman's tender care cease towards a child she bears? Yes, she may forgetfully be, yet will I remember you. It is unconditional. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to stop God from loving us. He does not lie. It's not in His nature. He is the truth and the way. He is love. Let's face it. He gave us His only Son to die for us. And He could do it. He did it because He could. And this is because He is love itself. His love is sacrificial. Is beneficial, and above all, it's free. In Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quieten you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. He loves us. He loves us so. In the book, The Beautiful Outlaw, God is described as being extravagantly generous. Let's think about it. Just look around. I mean, when we look around us, never mind healing. Let's put healing and the brokenness and all the other very serious things on the side. Let's look at the seasons. The trees, the fields of lavender and the bluebells. I mean, he loves us so that He gives us beautiful things. He's like the master painter, and He just lavishes us with beauty. I walk to school sometimes. I park my car in High Brooms and I walk down, and sometimes I'm going up the hill in, what was the name of the road again? Towards Sanders Road, and I turn right, which goes Fendale. Oh, and my heart bursts because in the summer months, the amazing colors, and it's a bit overwhelming at times, and even in the autumn, and now they're about 4 or 5 different shades of green, and suddenly the trees, and you think, wow. This is a God who loves that, who's gifting us beautiful things in our surroundings. One of the greatest demonstrations of our Father's heart is his attention to details of our needs. How many times have we just not thought about something like the song we sung earlier? Before you even say a word, he knows what you need. It's just mind-blowing. And this is because he loves us. Personally, he continues to blow my mind with incredible pleasures and treasures that only a father who knows their child would love so deeply and selflessly. He knows what our hearts yearn for. And sometimes we don't get it immediately, and that is not because he's deliberately withholding it from us. But even as we wait, he grows us. We see his love. Because later on, we turn back and think, wow, I didn't see that. He shows his love in more ways than just material things. And one of my favorite psalms is Isaiah 54. And I tell people that I was given that when I first became a Christian. And I've been through every single one of those things, including widowhood, which tickles me pink. But I take every verse very, very seriously, and it keeps me going. Mind, I'm not saying at all that I'm always sort of basking in the love of God. Oh, sometimes I'm in a very, very dark place. The difference is I don't remain in that dark place, because whilst there, I feel around and I feel the shepherd's staff there. And the presence of that shepherd's staff that I can't hear is that he is there, and he's there because he loves me. And I'll repeat this again. Someone explained about the shepherd's staff, that when we are going through it and things are so bad and we can't hear his voice and we can't see his face, and we can't even hear the staff tapping, and we feel through the darkness, we will touch the staff. And that shepherd's staff brings it back that our beloved Savior is right there. And he will bring us through. Going back to Isaiah 54, it says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. It's a covenant. His love for us is a covenant. He doesn't break his covenants. Says the Lord, who has compassion on you. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. He wants to hold us in his loving embrace. He desires to heal us, to bless us with agape love. In Jude 1, verse 2, it says, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours. We have been called. He has chosen us. I was reading the book, The Father's Heart, which Carol lent me. And I came away with one paragraph. And it says, our earthly dads may not notice things about us, but God does. So don't ever resent the failings of your earthly parents. They're just kids that grew up and had kids. Rather, rejoice in the wonderful love of your Father. As a teenager, I really struggled with my dad. I had a wonderful father who, unfortunately, was not just my father. He was the father of the whole nation. And everybody treated him with reverence. And I just wanted him to be my dad. And I didn't want to have to go through anybody to go and see him. And I'm glad I challenged all protocol. And I did. And he loved it because I was such a challenge. I was such a challenging child. I'm not anymore. And there are times you say, there's a meeting, I have to go. And I said, no, I want to be with my father. I must have blown his mind quite a few times. He used to be just shocked at how I could just say it. And he gave me time. He had time for me. And everybody, all the elders in the court, I'm a princess, I've said it, used to think, how does she do it? And I'm the youngest. But I did. And that has helped me to understand who God is. But there was a time that I didn't. And I used to judge him and think he was such a terrible father. But actually, he was a kid. He grew up in that way. And so let's be patient with our parents. And let's instead look at our Father's heart. None of us, nobody here, does not deserve the love of God or hasn't got it. Doesn't matter what we do. Everybody does. Let's keep the truth that God loves each of us as if we are the only one in his heart. When we feel rubbish, judged, betrayed, and unworthy, let's remember John 3:16. God is love. He didn't need us, but he wanted us. How amazing is that? He wanted us. He wants to have communion with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants intimacy with us. How amazing is that? Okay, now that we have been reminded of how deep our Father's love is for us, let us, like the lepers in 2 Kings verse 7, chapter 7, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 7 to 9, let us say to ourselves, this day is a day of good news. Let us not remain silent. We have been reminded again that God loves us. Doesn't matter if we were drunk last night or we have shouted at our children or we can't pay our debts or we're angry people or whatever. He loves us. The Syrian army had surrounded Jerusalem and no one could leave and no one could come in. And there were four lepers who were quarantined, so they were outside the camp, the city walls. And they decided to go to the Syrians. You know, they had nothing to lose. And they were hoping that the Syrians would have mercy on them and give them some food and water. And lo and behold, when they got there, the Lord's angel army had scattered the Syrians. So there was no one there. And they had left all their treasure, their food and their clothes. And so the four lepers looked at each other and just danced and ate and changed their clothes. And in the middle of their merriment, they suddenly realized that, stopped and thought, ooh, what we're doing is not right. they remembered their brothers and sisters, the rest of their fellow people who were under siege and hungry and doing terrible things I can't even begin to talk about for food. So they went back and shared the good news. They stopped. They thought about it and they took it back to share the good news. And of course, all sorts of things happened later. So now that we know we have been blessed, we have accepted Christ, we know of his love, even though we don't tap into it all the time, let's not keep it to ourselves. Let us go out. Let us share God's love with everybody. Let us pray. Let's ask God to lay people on our hearts. And let's tell them, let's not be embarrassed or English about it. Let's tell them that God loves you. Let's share it. Let's share God's love. I will finish with something I heard many years ago when I first became a Christian, and I just didn't think I was good enough and I didn't think he loved me enough. Very quickly I'll be gone. And it talks about a mother who had an only son, and he loved his son so deeply. He did everything for him. But the son wanted to, you know, get everything, wanted lots of money. And somebody had asked him, a medicine man said, go home. If you can come back with your mother's heart, carve it and bring it to me. And you have to be here within a certain period. I'll give you all the wealth of the world. So the boy does get the heart and started running, carrying mom's heart. And the heart was so pulsating, was beating. And just before he got to where he had to go to, he tripped. And as he tripped and he was about to fall, the heart cried out, son, are you all right? That is the heart of God. Father God, you love us so much that you gave us your only son to die that we might live. Help us to receive your extravagant love this day and always so that we can share your love with others. Amen.